So my story has kind of cascading first times, starting with I want to tell you about the first time I did drugs, which is pretty serious for me. I'm the kind of guy, I would have been in a knitting club maybe if they had one, but they didn't at my school at that time because I'm really old. So I didn't get drunk for the first time until I was 21. On my birthday, my mother and stepfather came up and took me out to a wine bar. I to this day have not tried pot. Like, I'm that kind of drug user. This was the first of two times. At that wine bar, like, I don't really feel safe with my mother and stepfather. These are the people who took me away for a weekend visit from my father and never brought me back. Yeah, so this is going to get heavier. Settle in. That's the kind of person I am. I don't have kids, so I don't have to deal with, like, worrying about kids and drugs and driving and stuff. So all you people with circumcised and uncircumcised kids get to deal with that, and I just have to deal with my own neuroses and myself. But I actually volunteered for a Hopkins study earlier this year where they give you psilocybin. They teach you how to meditate, and they give you psilocybin. So the first psilocybin is magic mushrooms, for those people who don't know. Except I'm pretty sure they give us pharmaceutical-grade synthesized psilocybin, not actually mushrooms. So they give you this pill, and so I took it, and it took me about 8 minutes, because they time it, to start the visions. And this is what I want to tell you about, and they're kind of amazing. I know that's why people do it, I guess. There's a reason. So the first thing that happens to me is I got what's called visual synesthesia, which means I could see the sounds. And they play music for you and stuff, and I could see people's voices, I could see sounds, and they have different backgrounds, right? So I'm like, this song is made of wax. You know, this song is red and green candy. Like, I could see the various things. And then it became very obvious to me, like, psychedelic art all of a sudden made sense because you could see the patterns. I'm like, oh, that's what people see it. It's what it looks like. It's because, you know, all the patterns in there and everything. And then I don't know why I was surprised by this. I'm like, oh, psychedelic stuff looks psychedelic. And I apparently laughed for about 18 minutes straight. The joke was they were playing a choral music that they were singing. It was Brahms, I think. They were singing in German. I didn't understand German. This is the funniest joke to me. I could see the German, but I couldn't understand it. And I'm like, I'm playing a joke on myself. And I laughed for 18 minutes straight. And I started to see entities in the visions, which I knew to be parts of my own brain. Parts of myself, and I was, like, trying to give myself messages. And the laughter message was very clear to me. It was that, you know, you bring laughter to people. There's laughter in the world. You are around people who are funny, and this is a great gift. And don't undersell this gift that you have and other people around you have. Laughter is an important thing that everybody has. And it was very important to me. That message was very important to myself. And then I cried for apparently 45 minutes straight. 45 minutes straight, and what I was crying about was the entities were all kind of, that I saw, that I knew to be pieces of me. They were all kind of staring at this one entity and saying, you know, they didn't talk to me. We kind of had thought conversations. They said, deal with this. And the entity that they were all looking at was a robed fatherhood figure with a light in his arms that I knew to be a baby, that I knew to, and it was all fatherhood stuff, and I knew I had to deal with the fact that I had chosen not to have kids and the fact that I had kind of missed out on a kind of fatherhood experience. So I wept for 45 minutes, and my guides during this last minute were like, hey, you're dealing with some heavy stuff. Anything we can do? And I said two words to them, which to me made perfect sense, like explained the entire thing. I'm like, we're mourning. And I decided they understood that from that, from those two words. And they left me like, okay. So I kept crying for a while. But the next thing that happened is the entities all then kind of turned away and decided they didn't want to tell me whatever the next secret was, whatever the next lesson was. They said, you're not ready. And I knew, and I understood this means I was telling myself I wasn't ready for whatever this next thing is. And the session ended. I didn't tell myself, but I knew I had to go talk to my father, so who had just had some cancer surgery. So I went to talk to my father. I made an appointment. I drove up to see him and spent a lot of time, and talked to him a whole bunch about what I was like as a very small child, and things like that. And he kind of dropped another thing in the middle of a story about potty training, which had nothing to do with the potty training. But it was another first time, and basically he told me about the first time that my mother had abandoned us. She had just left for almost a year, which we never talked about. I'm pushing 40, and no one had ever told us. No one ever talked about this. And he dropped that in the conversation about potty training. He was like, well, your mom might not remember, because this is when she was gone the first time. And so there's another first time. And so what I decided to do with this information, which I was bizarrely okay with, I mean, I was kind of pissed off no one had ever told me, and then he dropped it in the middle of a ridiculous conversation about potty training. But so I decided to go to a stoop story and tell a large part of this story in front of 500 of my closest friends for the first time I've ever talked about that, a piece of my childhood. And the... I guess the point of this story to me and these first times is I wasn't really ready to deal with it. The entities were right. I talk about these as if they're real, my psychedelic visions. They're very smart. That I wasn't... They were right. I wasn't ready to deal with this until I was ready to deal with it, until I was 40. And so I kind of appreciated this entire experience, which is very important to me and very moving to me. And... I really wish everybody could have drug experiences as meaningful as I had.